We killing the ones who are empowering. Sad, yo.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today we're going to be looking back at Sunday's action across the NBA and giving you some streaming advice for the day ahead. Just a quick note though before Michael Bolton chimes in. At this point in the season, we're 7 days left in the NBA regular season. You should not be playing NBA DFS. I'm not going to be doing DFS previews for these last 7 days of the season. There is so much bullshit that goes on, not only before games, but after games lock with late scratches. We saw that across the weekend. We've got with in-game rests, with guys playing 20 minutes. It's all over the place. So me doing a preview, 12 hours before the games start, it's really counterintuitive because we could have 30 things change. And yeah, that tends to be the case at some point, at any time during the season, really. But at this point of the year, it really, like everything I say here, 80% of it could be completely different. So what I'm going to do is do our usual recap, give the nightly awards, then have a look for if your season-long leagues are continuing into this week, which again, they should never be doing. But if they are, looking at stream targets for the various categories on the coming day. So we'll talk about that in today's show. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. We will start with
Monstrous Line of the Night.
And the Monstrous Line of the Night is also the Waiver Wire Line of the Night. No, it's not. Try again. The Monstrous Line of the Night is Rajon Rondo. I'm Rusty. I've got the end of season DMP load managements at the moment. Rajon Rondo is your Monstrous Line of the Night. Didn't really think I'd be saying that this season, but he put up a really big line in the Lakers' huge win over the Pelicans. 31 minutes for Rondo, 24 points, including 4 threes, 5 rebounds, 12 assists and 3 steals on a fantastic 64% shooting. He has been putting up the numbers, no doubt, over the last month. A top 55 player, averaging 10, 5.5 and 9 with 2 steals. Really, though, that value is all concentrated in two categories. It's the 9 assists, it's the 2 steals. That's it. He is shooting 39% from the field during that time. Weirdly, 92% from the line. Of course, he takes absolutely no free throw attempts, so it's not impacting there. He's averaging 10 points, so he's really just a huge positive in two categories, a significant negative in field goal percentage, and a decent enough negative in points, and everything else is sort of about average for where Rondo is. And that's useful, but it's not useful for every single team. I did think they might start to reduce Rondo's minutes at some point here down the stretch of the season. We saw Kuzma sit out today. We know that LeBron's out for the rest of the year. Ingram and Ball, Josh Hart are already gone as well. But Rondo looks like he's at least staying stable with these minutes. He's totaled 29 assists and 8 steals in the last two games. So that's obviously really useful. And that's where his value is coming from. So if he is available in a 12-team league, he's going to have value here for the rest of this time across the end of the week or the end of the season. He's got the Lakers have 4 more games for this coming week in the NBA for your fantasy playoffs. So Rajon Rondo is your Monstrous Line of the Night. Your next one,
Waiver Wire Line of the Night.
Your Waiver Wire Line of the Night is also your Deep Leaguer of the Night, is also your Young Gun of the Night.
Young Gun of the Night.
And that's because the Bucks just completely screwed up so many fantasy championships. And actually, before I continue, congratulations if you have won your first fantasy championship, if it's multiple fantasy championships in a redraft league, in a dynasty league, if your season just finished on Sunday. Congratulations to you. I hope you guys have either been here with this podcast over the past 6 seasons, the past one season, you're new this year, you've just found us in the last 3 weeks. Whatever it is, I hope that I was able to provide some assistance and maybe some entertainment throughout the journey as well. So congratulations to you if you won. Stiff shit if you lost. Better luck next year as you guys fight back and try and win another championship. So well done to everyone who did win, and well done to everybody who competed, got to the playoffs, and got to the final matchup as well. Let's talk Sterlo Brown, though, because the Bucks, they sat Chris Middleton, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Eric Bledsoe in addition to the injuries to Nikola Mirotic, Malcolm Brogdon, and Tony Snell. So we had a very bare-bones rotation, so much so that Timmy Frazier played 53 minutes. Yes, 53 minutes. That is the entirety of the game. He did a Ray McCallum if you guys remember Sacramento Kings about 3 or 4 years ago, McCallum, a second round pick. I think he played 48 minutes in 4 consecutive games to end the season. Now, Brown, I've been talking about Brown for a while. I talked him up in the offseason. He was leapfrogged by Snell and by Connaughton. And then I've talked him up a little bit here at the end of the season with the Brogdon and Snell injuries that in deeper leagues you'd want to pay attention. I didn't see this coming from Sturlo. 33 minutes, 27 points with 5 triples, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and a block. Last game he had 15 points with 3 threes. The game before that, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and a block. That's 3 really solid games in a row from Sterling Brown. That makes him in the last week the 28th ranked player. Now, I don't think Brogdon or Snell are coming back this season. The Middleton, Yanni, Bledsoe triumvirate. Bledsoe and Middleton, I think, will likely be back on Monday. Not sure about Antetokounmpo, but if you're looking to stream someone in on Monday, there are 9 games. Maybe you have availability there. Maybe Brown's going to have value. He's going to start, and he's going to play mid to high 20s in minutes, and he can be a steals guy. He can add some rebounds. He can score a little bit. He can hit some threes. He's definitely like a 16-team add and probably a 14-team guy as well. And if you're looking to stream in 12s, Sterling Brown can be of use. But a big game from him and a guy that I've had a bit of faith in since before he was drafted, to be honest. And yeah, he's looking the goods now after dealing with that really, really long-term wrist injury that seemed to keep him out for about a month, which let me double check. Yeah, it was about a month that he was out with that wrist injury. It just seemed to go on and on and on. The next award that we take a look at is the dud of the night. Yeah, Gary Harris has got a few of these this season. 34 minutes for Gazza, only the 9 points on 4 of 13 shooting. 1 rebound and 0 assist. Nick Young will be proud of that. 2 steals is the only redeeming feature of this performance from Harris. His season has been a real disaster. The 160th ranked player this year. He was 40th last year and 68th last season. So what's changed? Well, for a start, the injuries. He's only played 51 games, and that has meant that he has played only 29 minutes, so a lot of coming back from injury, a deep team not needing to force him. But shooting from 49% from the field last year, 50 the year before that, 47 the year before that, we're at under 43 this season. His free throw percentage has dropped 3 percentage points as well. His 3-point percentage went from 40 last season, 42 the year before that, down to 35 this season. Those sort of things are unrecoverable from a fantasy perspective. His steals cut in half, 1.8 last season, 0.9. And combine all of those things together, the usage basically identical over the course of the season. So he's getting the shots, just the minutes are down, and the efficiency is way down, and the steal rate is down, and he's been a clear drop for a pretty decent amount of time, but that's just, look, it's not good enough, a real disappointment. He is going to turn into a massive steal guy next season in terms of bargain, Danilo Gallinari, Tyreek Evans type that you grab in your last round of your drafts, and if it works out, boy, it's going to work out in a pretty good way, I believe, but at this point, it's been a real disaster for Gaz Harris. The plus-minus GOAT, Ryan Brokoff of the Dallas Mavericks. He's been playing well over the last couple of weeks. Not many people would have noticed that, but he has been doing quite well for this Mavericks team, plus 82.7, while the worst net rating went to Lance Stephenson, negative 85.4. There is no reason he should be on an NBA team or playing as a starter. He shouldn't be on your fantasy team. 12s, 14s, maybe 16s you have a look at. He's just so infuriating to watch. He puts up a highlight. That's fantastic. And then he's just shit for the other 47 minutes of the game. So Lance Stephenson has your worst net rating of the day. Let's cover some injury news. Marvin Bagley sat out today with an illness. That was not ideal, especially considering he'd just taken the starting job back with Bielitsa sick. Now, he may or may not have remained in that position. We'll never know because he was out of this one. LeBron James is out for the season.
LeBron James.
He is still dealing with that groin injury, which was obviously pretty significant. It's obviously annoying if you had LeBron to be dealing with the injury he had in January, but it really is a big thing. And one of there's a couple of big narratives that were occurring in the preseason. I saw a lot of people touting LeBron as a number one, a number two, a number three overall fantasy pick because he played 82 games the year before. LeBron's a tank. He doesn't get injured. He doesn't rest. And while that has been true, he has only ever played 82 games once in his career. Injuries do happen at points. And when you're looking at that top-end talent, it's really hard to place, to elevate a guy 7, 8, 9 spots just because he didn't get hurt the year before. And we've seen that here. A lot of people avoiding Golden State Warriors players in drafts. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, not taking them. The Warriors are going to rest them all through the playoffs. Did they rest one single game through the fantasy playoffs? I know KD got hurt. He missed a couple. Draymond had some injuries. I don't think any of those guys, outside of Cousins, which of course recovering from the Achilles, we all knew that, did any of those guys, even in their five-game week, did they rest? Actually, that's not true. Sorry, Steph did rest one game. Durant played the five-game week. Draymond played the five-game week. Klay played the five-game week. So we've got to be really careful of buying into these narratives, which, again, I try my best to dispel that sort of stuff, but it is something that did happen. But LeBron out for the season. Lance is going to start in his place, it looks like. Blake Griffin missed the last game for the Detroit Pistons. He is going to be out again on Monday with knee soreness. Now, the Pistons are one of only four teams left in the NBA who really have their playoff lives to fight for. They're the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference. They're only 1.5 games out of the ninth seed. They need to keep winning. Now, everyone else is jockeying for positions and seedings. The Pistons aren't. They need to keep winning to keep themselves in the playoffs. So if Blake is missing two in a row at this point in the season, there's a little bit of worry creeping in. Now, of course, the overwhelming idea was don't draft Blake because he's injury prone, and he hasn't been injury prone at all this season. Until we get to right now with his knee, which is a little bit worrying. Thon Maker becomes an interesting blocks and threes type of stream guy on the games that the Pistons play. Derek Favors is out for Monday for the Jazz, so Jay Crowder becomes an interesting stream there. Deeper leagues want to look at Tabo Cephalosha, maybe even Epe Udo if you're looking to get some blocks on the board early. He can come in and block two shots in 9 minutes. That's what Udo can do. The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman. Rest well, sweet Prince of the Dead. The Undertaker is out for the season with an ankle injury. That boosts the value, of course, of Alex Len. Deeper leagues, you're going to be wanting to look at Deontay Davis, who's playing pretty well at the moment. Len becomes a speculative ad or a streaming type ad for 12-team leagues with Dedman out for the season. And DeAndre Ayton hurt his ankle over the weekend. He's already been ruled out of Monday's game. I will be pretty stunned if we see Ayton again this season. The clear pickup there is Rashawn Holmes. Now, he missed Saturday's game with a migraine, but he is not on the injury report. He will be back Monday. He is a must-add player for this week with Ayton. I don't think we're seeing Ayton again this year. Same with Tyler Johnson. Same with TJ Warren in Phoenix. I'd be really, really stunned if those guys came back. There's no need. With a week left, why rush these guys back? Not that TJ Warren's been rushed. He's been out for the last 3 months with a sore ankle. A couple of other injuries. Jamal Murray twisted his ankle. He came back into the game and then didn't return again after halftime. So, of course, Monty Morris is that bloke who's going to really step it up and become a 12-team league guy if Murray misses time in the Nuggets. Would make a lot of sense for them to sit Jamal here, get him healthy for the playoffs. Mike Conley sat today's game, and much like Murray, he sprained his ankle on Saturday, returned to the game, and then missed Sunday's action. That really boosts the value of DeLon Wright. Tyler Dorsey, usually he didn't really deliver in Sunday's action, though. But Conley, I think we might see Mick back. I'm just not sure on that. But his teammate Jonas Valanciunas sprained his ankle pretty badly today. I don't think JV is going to be back for the rest of this season. I don't think Joakim Noah is going to be back for the rest of this season. So that gives you a bit of a value play there on Ivan Rabb, who can be interesting enough. Now, I'd place him significantly behind Rashawn Holmes in terms of overall value for this remaining portion of the season. But Valanciunas, I'd be pretty surprised if we see him again this season. Guys, if you are going to subscribe to this podcast, which I highly recommend, why don't you download the new Himalaya podcast app and subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Basketball there. Let's get into these games now and have a look at them across the NBA for Sunday. There were seven of them in the league. Let's see what sort of interesting bits we can find in these ones. Well, the first game, there's a lot of interesting stat lines, no doubt, as the Milwaukee Bucks lost to the Atlanta Hawks in overtime, 135-136. Timmy Frazier, as I mentioned, played the entire 53 minutes of the game, 20 points with 7 rebounds and 15 assists. Bonzi Colson is a real man. He had 15 and 16 in 41 minutes, while DJ Wilson started and had 12, 7, and 5 in 34 minutes. And Wilson has been fantastic this season. I thought he was dreadful last year. I thought he was dreadful because he was dreadful, but he has really, really improved this year. But, of course, Middleton, Yanni, and Eric Bledsoe were all out of this game, and they could very well be back for Monday's action. You're limiting the value of Frazier and Colson, who aren't rotation players on a regular basis, but it is one to watch. For the Hawks, Justin Anderson. I like this guy all the way back to the end of his rookie season in Dallas. Actually, when he was drafted, he had an interesting fantasy profile, but he started to step it up at the end of his rookie season, and it's sort of been lost since then in Philadelphia and in Atlanta, but now 24-12 in 31 minutes with the artist formerly known as Taurean Prince out, 4 triples and 2 steals, putting together the sorts of skills that I saw from him as a rookie, as a player at Virginia. We don't know when Prince is going to be back. I would imagine that Taurean misses a couple more here. He's a drop in 12-team leagues if you still got him. Anderson becomes that moderately sized the league addition type of player. The Baptist, John Collins, 23 and 12 with 3 blocks. Remember when he blocked about one shot in 80 games? Well, now he's blocking them all over the place. Just shows you that regression and progression to the mean do happen. And when a guy comes in and you look at his projections over on Basketball Monster and you say, why have you got him averaging a steal a game and a block a game? He hasn't blocked a shot for ages. You know, you have to drop those projections. Well, I look at what he did in college and his rookie season, and yeah, over an 8-game sample, I'm not going to think all of a sudden he's never getting steals or blocks. And it was weird, but now they're coming in bunches, and that's what generally tends to happen. Trae Young was great, apart from the shooting. He hit the game winner, but 12 points on 19 shots is not good. I love five rebounds, 16 assists, and 2 steals. And his second half of the year, top 25 type of a player. This is where he's going to be moving forward. Someone posed an interesting question to me on Twitter today. Who would you rather keep in a keeper league, Kemba Walker or Trae Young? I think you got to keep Trae Young. I think they're in a similar level, third round type of point guard next season. And Young's 10 years younger. To me, it's a definite. You have to keep Trae Young in that scenario. As for Alex Len, 23 and 6 in 27 minutes. No defensive stats, but with the Undertaker out, he provides value. Fantapants, Kevin Huerter, he's been quite disappointing over the last month or two. I thought he was really stepping up, because he was, but he has really dropped off. While Bembry was great here, 16 and 6 with 3 assists and 3 steals, but he's so up and down, and the minutes still at 21 don't make him really that strong of an ad. Let's go on to the next game. The Mavericks with the big upset victory over the Thunder in Oklahoma City, 106-103. Luka Doncic was out, so Trey Burke, he got an opportunity. That seems to be what happens. When Doncic goes out, Burke gets the minutes and the production. 25 points for Burkey with 8 assists. The Mavericks play again Monday. We don't know Doncic's status, but if Burke is available, he could be an interesting stream. We saw the burner Jalen Brunson have 18, 2 and 4. I like him in 12s. Or Justin Jackson, he's not good. He'll never be good, in my opinion. 4 points in 13 minutes. Ryan Brokoff significantly better. 5 points in 24 as a player. Look, his line's not that much better here. 5 points in 24 minutes, but I love what Brokoff's doing. He is a deep league 3-point streamer, Brokoff. Dorian Finney-Smith's bloom is off his rose at the moment. 7 points in 16 minutes. Carlisle is not as interested in using him as he has been in the past. While Dwight Powell, 11 and 9, really just piss poor in terms of shooting. 4 of 14. This is a bloke who'd normally go 8 of 14, and you add another 12 points on there, and that line looks really, really sexy. Dirk, big minutes for Dirk. 27 minutes, 13 rebounds, and didn't shoot well. And that's big minutes in 2 consecutive games for Dirk. It's something to watch, but with a back-to-back, does he sit out Monday? I think it's a chance. For the Thunder, Westbrook, 25, 11, and 11. Hit all of his free throws amazingly, while Paul George had 27 and 11 with 2 steals and a block, and Adams had 20 and 15, but it wasn't enough to get the Thunder over the line. Jeremy Grant was okay with 14 points, while Schroeder, that is 3 absolute turd burgers in a row from Schroeder. 8 and 4 on 27% shooting. If you can't afford to deal with any sort of negativity in your field goal percentage category, you just can't hold him. That's how bad he is at the moment. He could probably swing up and have 30 points on 69% shooting.
Giggity!
Next game, but you just can't trust what he is doing. Terrence Ferguson was also pretty trash here. 3 points in 20 minutes for Big Fergo. Next up, the Lakers really, really gave it to the Pelicans, 130 to 102. Alex Caruso, career high, 23 points with 6 assists and 4 steals. He shot 64% from the field. He does have some interesting 14-team league value. I want him to get all of these Lance Stevenson minutes. I really like what he's doing. JaVale McGee's monster second half continues, 23 and 16, while Kuzma was out of this one. So that meant that Flaming Mo Wagner got a start. Seven and seven, not all that enticing. While Stevenson, 0 of 7 from the field for 2 rebounds and 1 assist. Yeah, that's not that interesting. Jonathan Williams had been playing pretty well, but his production's well down. While Reggie Bullock actually returned, 18 points in 23 minutes for Bullock, 4 triples and 3 assists, just a deeper league, 14-16 team league 3-point streamer. For the Pelicans, big Chris Wood, 15 and 11 a steal and a block. He's pretty much a must-roster player at this point. I don't expect to see Anthony Davis play again this season. I don't expect to see Frank Jackson play again this season, although I feel more confident in Jackson lacing them up rather than Davis. Over the last week, Wood's the 9th ranked player. He's the 25th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. He's blocking shots, he's getting steals, he's giving you big rebound, field goal percentage, and scoring. He is a must roster guy, and it doesn't even matter to me whether Davis plays or not. I think his minutes will be up because they'll just take them away from someone else. That's how well he's playing. Julius Randle sprained his finger in this one, so that's something to watch, and if he's out, then Wood's value goes through the roof. 17 points in 23 for him, while Solomon Hill, who barely has been cited for 2 years, had 14 points in 25 minutes as the Pelicans are down a shitload of wing players with Darius Miller out. So maybe Solomon, for those deeper formats, could have some value. Okafor started, played 26 minutes, and Cheick Diallo had 12 and 10 in his 21 minutes. Both of those guys are more 16-team league players, while Kenrick Williams, remember when he was the must-add guy? Yeah, it's not really looking like that at the moment. While Ian Clark started in place of Frank Jackson, he had 11 points in 31 minutes. He is really not good and is just a deeper league guy. The next game we look at, the Kings, they beat the Spurs on the road, 113-106. Budrick had 26, 5, and 3, massive from Hield, while Bogdan Bogdanovic, who had that weird, weird dip in minutes and production about 2 weeks ago, 32 minutes, 15, 3, and 5 with two steals, big from Bogdan. There was no Gilesy, there was no Bagley, the Sticky Bandits were out of this one, so Cauley Stein played 30 minutes, 17, and 6, and Nemanja Bjelica recovered from his upset tummy to have 10 and 6 in his 26 minutes. The pencil, Harrison Barnes, Barnesy. 15 and 4 in his 34 minutes. Again, this is just what he does. He is never going to change. This is just what he continues to do. While it wasn't a great De'Aaron Fox night, 12, 4, and 5. For the Spurs, Rudy Gay replaced Jakob Poeltl in the starting lineup and played 31 minutes, 18 and 9. This is what they should do every single game. Pop goes back and forth. Poeltl had 2 points in his 12 minutes. Gay is much more of a 12-team league guy than what Poeltl is. Aldridge had 27 and 18, or DeRozan had 16 with 7 assists, and Derek White's late season struggles really continue. He's a clear droppable guy, despite the Spurs having a pretty strong schedule for the rest of the year, and it's all going to come down to how you manage it, how you manage a roster, where he fits in, because with the way he's playing on a per game basis, Derek White, it's hard to justify holding on to him. But again, with a really decent enough schedule here, plus the fact that he has a game on Tuesday when there's very few games on, that does really work in Derek White's favor. And all these Spurs guys, just to have that game on the low volume days does help those guys out in terms of their overall value. The Washington Wizards and the Denver Nuggets, big win for the Wizards, an absolutely dreadful loss for the Nuggets here at home, 95-90. Big Tom Bryant, 20-14 with 3 blocks in 40 minutes. He should be the starting center on this team. Screw Dwight Howard, it needs to be Tom Bryant next season. I love what he's doing. He's a must-roster guy on a per-game basis, but with every time when I say this, check how it fits what your team needs. Well, Troy Brown, the best game of his career, 24 points in 42 minutes, hit 5 triples. I think he starts the rest of the way. I don't think we see Trevor Ariza again this season for this team, and that helps Brown out. I also don't think we're going to see Jeff Green again.
My name is Jeff.
He's sat out the last two games out of the rotation to give extra minutes to guys like Jordy McRae and Wesley Johnson. Brad Beal had 17, 3, and 6, and Satoransky 5, 6, and 5. Yeah, down nights significantly by those guys. Jabari was great, 20 and 6 with 3 steals and a block. He's putting up big numbers at the moment on a team that's obviously going nowhere. It's helping his case for free agency next season. He still struggles significantly defensively, but the numbers here would justify rostering him. My man, Punchbob Shipbloke, is not a good NBA player. He is not a starting caliber player. He is as inconsistent as they come. Now, I had a lot of people tweet at me, I can't remember what day it was, Saturday, maybe, Bobby Portis just won me my championship. Well, hopefully you didn't need his performance on Sunday, because he had 2 points on 9 shots with 9 rebounds and no defensive stats. If you are considering him as a starting caliber player on your NBA team, you are not making the playoffs. So I feel pretty confident about that, but I still think that it's hard to drop him in 12-team formats. For the Nuggets, Jokic got ejected, not before he had 23 and 14 with 2 steals and a block. Really poor from Jokic to get ejected in this situation. He needs to be better than that, despite whatever he thinks is going on against him. A bit of the old James Sicily there from Jokic. Jamal Murray had 12 points before he got injured. Farton Wilbarton had 10, and Millsap had 13 and 16 on just horrendous shooting. As I've said, Barton, not a must-roster guy. Millsap, not a must-roster 10-team league guy. He's really on that border, struggling a bit. While Monty Morris, I think he's going to have some significant value here, which will be interesting if, as I assume, Jamal Murray does sit with his ankle injury. That would be the smart play. The next game was an absolute ass-kicking of the highest degree. The Warriors beat the Hornets by 47 points, 137-90. Jeremy Lamb, just the 20 minutes. That's 20 minutes in two consecutive games for Lammy. He did have two steals and two blocks with nice production, but you can do better in a 12-team league. Bill Hernan Gomez took a remarkable 15 free throw attempts and hit 14 of them, ended with 22 in 23 minutes. I don't know why they continue to start Bismack Biyombo, who played 8 minutes here, then give the minutes to Bill. Just give him 30 and see what happens. He is a legitimate 12-team option here, Hernan Gomez. While Nick Batum came back into the rotation, and of course everyone who had Dwayne Bacon and Miles Bridges were thoroughly pissed off, because Batum's return limited Bacon to 28 minutes, and it limited Miles Bridges down to just 30 minutes, and those guys have been playing mid to high 30s in minutes prior to this. Yeah, Bacon's a guy who is a bit of an empty points sort of a guy, maybe some steals here and there. And if he's going to play 27 a night, he's probably not going to be a 12-team league player. Should go without saying that Marvin Williams isn't a 12-team league guy. For the Warriors, nobody had to extend themselves. Cousins didn't. He got ejected after playing just 11 minutes, but really very little to talk about here. Quinn Cook looked good, 21-4-4 with 5 threes in 23 minutes. We know Cook can put up numbers if he plays 30. It's all going to come down to, is it a blowout or is Steph out? And that's really all there is there. We also had an interesting Yunus Yurepko cameo, 12-6 with 3 steals, who has about 2 or 3 of these games per year. The last game of the night was the Memphis Grizzlies comfortably losing to the LA Clippers. My man DeLon Wright had 20-8 with 4 assists, 3 steals and a block. I believe he is a 12-team league guy the rest of the season. Of course, depending on how it fits into your schedule, I think Mike Conley will miss a couple more games here for the rest of the year, while Bruno Caboclo got into early foul trouble and never recovered. Still had 2 blocks and 2 threes with 8 points, but only 20 minutes. The minutes will be higher than that next game. With him in foul trouble, Chandler Parsons played some extra, and we also had 17 Julian Washburn minutes. Valanciunas, I reckon he's done for the year, as I mentioned earlier, while Tyler Dorsey had 14 points and nothing else. He's a chucker, and I don't think that he's a very good NBA player. I would have Wright over him pretty comfortably. While my man, Dusty Hannes, what a name. Literally the best name in the NBA, I believe, at the moment. Dusty Hannes, he made his NBA debut, while Justin Holiday is a steals streamer, and that's it. As for the Valanciunas replacement, Rab played 16 minutes, had 3-3 with a steal and a block. He's probably more of a 14-team league ad, but if Noah and Valanciunas are going to miss, which I believe that they will, there is value there. On the Clippers side, Gilgeous Alexander, just the 28 minutes and only 6 points, but 3 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks. The Clippers have a pretty poor schedule for this coming week, but that's a good production on a per-game basis, while the Italian cock Danilo Gallinari had 27 and 15. Really, this was that much of a smashing that Montrezl Harrell only played 21 minutes. He had 20 points in that, and it was 10 of 11 from the line, which is a real change from what he normally does there. Patty Beverly, probably a drop, just the 3 points in his 25 minutes, while Landry Shamet only hit 1 shot. It was a 3, thankfully, but 1 of 9 is just not going to cut it, and he was never really a 12-team league option. And that'll wrap it up for all of the action across the NBA for whatever day this was that we're... That we're looking at, Sunday, that's the day. All right, guys, this is it for the regular season. We're looking at the last week and a half, the last 10 days worth of matchups in our week 25/26 preview. It's going to be a weird and wonderful and wild 10 days here in the NBA, and streaming is going to be very, very important. Let's start by looking at, of course, the teams who do have the best schedules for this week and the team with the worst schedule for this week, and then we'll break that schedule down into a little bit of extra detail. The team with the best schedule for this upcoming week is the Utah Jazz. They play 6 games for this coming week. They have a game against Charlotte. They play the Suns. They play the Kings. They play the Lakers. So really 4 massively fantasy-friendly teams to begin the week. They end the regular season with a back-to-back against the Nuggets and the Clippers. Nearly every team has a back-to-back to end the season. And they're relatively tough matchups. The Nuggets and the Clippers could both be pushing for seeding there as well as Utah. So you'd imagine that a lot of these teams will be playing most of their guys through this stretch. There is some easy games there, like the Phoenix one. You might see some of these Jazz guys limited. But that's going to be the case for pretty much all teams outside of perhaps the Nets, the Pistons, the Heat, and the Magic, as those 4 teams trying to push themselves into the 2 remaining playoff spots in the Eastern Conference. Everyone else is going to be having selected games off, whereas those 4 teams are probably the only ones who won't be doing that. In terms of the worst schedule for the upcoming, I'm just going to call it a week, even though it's not a week. The LA Clippers play 4 games. They're one of three teams that play only four games over this time frame. The Wizards and the Pelicans are the other two teams. The Clippers don't play till Wednesday, so they don't play the first 2 days of the week. They have the Rockets, they have the Lakers, the Warriors, and the Jazz. So only one of those teams is a fantasy-friendly team to go against. That's the Lakers, and the other three are tough. Plus, you're looking at just the four games as opposed to the majority of teams which play either five or six. Now, it's not a massive decline in games because the majority of teams in the league do play five games this week, so it's only one less there. So you might still get value out of someone like Danilo Gallinari and Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, but players like Patty Beverley, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, it's pretty tough to lock those guys into weekly lineups with only the four games going for this week. If we have a look at how the rest of this week shakes out, it is quite a different week to what we've been seeing recently. So your strategy for this upcoming week is going to be quite different to what it's been over these last these 3 or 4 weeks probably. It is pretty tough to stream this week with the way that the games are set up. We've got 9 games on Monday, 4 games on Tuesday, 12 Wednesday, 3 Thursday, 13 on Friday, 2 on Saturday, 14 on Sunday, 0 on Monday for the NCAA final, 11 on Tuesday, and 11 on Wednesday. So using my number of 8 or less are good stream days, you're going to have Tuesday, you're going to have Thursday, and you're going to have Saturday. So 3 out of 10 days you're going to have to stream. Now you might be able to stream on this first Monday where there's 9 games left, but that's it. A 12-game Wednesday? No. A 13-game Friday? God no. A 14-game Saturday, zero chance. An 11-game Tuesday and an 11-game Wednesday, very, very unlikely. So you are at best going to have 4 stream days only. That is it. They are not on any back-to-back situation. And the end of the week, you're not able to stream guys in because the last 4 days of 3 active days in the NBA are 14, 11, and 11 games. So your roster, now you're going to be able to add guys, but you're going to have to be dropping guys who also play on those days just to get the stats that you need to win this matchup. And again, do not play fantasy basketball in April. If you're still listening to this podcast, watching these videos, then you are obviously a fan of this show or just really want to hear me talk about how you shouldn't be playing at this point in the year. But those days, the Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, where there's 4, 3, and 2 games, they're the days that you've really got to be looking at in terms of being able to get value. And in terms of the teams that you can attack, well, there's no teams that play all 3 of those days. There's the Sixers who play 2 of them, the Warriors that play 2, and the Bucks, and the Kings, and the Lakers. And that's it. They're the only teams that play 2 of the 3 quality days. So your streaming value is going to come from there. Now, in Philadelphia, you're going to have someone like perhaps Jonah Bolden, depending on how long Joel Embiid sits. Maybe you're looking at Jim Ennis. Maybe it's TJ McConnell who could have value there. But it seems unlikely. It's all going to come down to how these guys rest. But that is a team that you're looking to attack. The Warriors as well, but their bench has no value. But will the Warriors rest anybody? Again, we just don't know at this point. The Bucks, they rested everybody today, and you'd have to assume that at some point during this week there's going to be some rest. So you hope that they do the rests on Thursday or on Saturday, so you can actually stream these guys in and add your Bonzi Colsons and get 1 or 2 games out of those players. The Kings, similarly, they have a Tuesday, Thursday, so they have the two pseudo back to or the pseudo back to back at the beginning of the week. So you're looking at guys like Corey Brewer if you need steals. You're looking at Willie Cauley-Stein in that scenario. You're looking at Marvin Bagley, of course, although he is a must roster player. Bielitsa in deeper formats, and then for the Lakers with 2 games, flaming Mo Wagner. He's got a start on Sunday in place of Kyle Kuzma. Lance Stevenson starting in place of LeBron James. You've got guys like Alex Caruso who could be stepping up and playing a larger role as well. But overall, there are a bunch of teams that play no quality games. For example, the Jazz play 6 games. And I said they got the best schedule for this week. They do, but not one of those games is on a low volume day. So streaming a guy like Jay Crowder, it might be hard to do unless you drop a player who actually plays on that day. You're streaming a guy like, who else is there on that team? Hal Neto. Maybe not. Royce O'Neal, Kyle Korver for 3s. You're not going to be able to use those guys in a lot of situations in your regular, themed or your regularly executed stream strategy. It won't work during this week, and you need to really be able to adjust what you're doing. There's going to be lots of opportunities with general soreness and rests right across the week, providing opportunities for players that you may not have even heard of. So you've got to be on top of the news, especially on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And then, as I said, those last 3 days of the week, you might have to be dropping players who play games on that day, but don't fit what you actually need in terms of fantasy basketball value. Now, I can have a look at those last 3 days of the season. It is really important to note. Just a bit under half of the teams play 3 games in the final 3 active days of the season. The Pistons, the Knicks, the Warriors, Blazers, Thunder, Mavericks, Jazz, Wolves, Nuggets, Hornets, Grizzlies, and Heat all play on Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whereas the rest of the league only plays 2 games. And that's that stage where there's a 14, 11, and 11 games on. So looking to stream these guys in is going to be very important, and really looking at what your team needs in either head-to-head or even roto leagues as well. It's going to be really, really important to pay attention to that. So it is really a weird week in fantasy basketball coming up to end this season. It's going to get weirder, I can guarantee you. Let's look at some players that we can potentially stream in to provide some extra value in those specific categories. See which guys can provide that for us. If we're looking for points, the Fort, Kevin Knox, 6 games for the week. You'd imagine he plays all 6 of those. He's a strong points stream. Dwight Powell of the Dallas Mavericks is a guy who's available in a lot of different situations, but he's got 4 games left. He's someone to look at, same as Emmanuel Mudiay. Of course, trusting the New York Knicks is really, really hard with Professor Data, but they do have that 6-game week. For 3-pointers, the Duke, Wayne Ellington, the Pistons are one of those teams who is going to be fighting for every game. So someone like Ellington to get those 3s in with 6 games, and even if you're looking for blocks, maybe Thon Maker could be an option. I haven't listed him there, but he's another guy who's going to have to get significant minutes there. Jay Crowder with 4 games this week, and Luke Kornet of the Knicks. But of course, as I mentioned with the Jazz, they don't have any quality games in this time frame. Neither do the Knicks. So if you're adding to stream these guys, you're going to be dropping someone who does have a game on that day. 4 rebounds. You're looking for Mitchie Robinson of the Knicks. He's a must-roster guy regardless, and the 6 games are obviously fantastic. Bam Bam Adebayo and Bill Hernan Gomez, a couple of other rebound options. For assists, I'm looking at Tyus Jones, 6 games for him and the Wolves. DJ Augustin for the Orlando Magic, only 5 games for Deej, but I'm pretty confident he's going to play in all 5 and play 30-plus minutes as the Magic push for the playoffs. And Freddie VanVleet, you'd imagine that Kyle Lowry, Kawhi Leonard, Dan Green, these guys will all get some games off, and VanVleet will continue with a pretty large role. If you're looking to stream in some steals, Josh Okogie of the Minnesota Timberwolves have 6 games. His minutes are pretty secure. Big Shaq Harrison of the Chicago Bulls, Marcus Smart, another guy who's has an opportunity to be a steal streamer. For blocks, the no-brainer is Mitchell Robinson, Maxi Kleber, and Luke Kornet, some really under-the-radar guys that you can look at who are available in a ton of leagues and both play 6 games this week. And for field goal percentage, it's Mitchie Robinson, it's Dwight Powell, and Jakob Poeltl, another good option to help boost your field goal percentage. For your free throw percentage, a little bit harder to influence that category. DJ Augustin, Al-Farouq Aminu can also be an impact guy there. Rocket Rodney Hood, Marco Bellinelli, another free throw percentage player who can help you in that category as you look to close out the week. This will do it for looking at the weekly preview stuff, guys. I hope you have had a successful season. I hope you realize the folly of playing your fantasy season into April. Get your commissioner to not only change it, but if they don't want to, listen to this podcast, or if they have got a problem, tweet at me directly at redrock_bball, and I can tell them why they shouldn't be playing at this point in the season, or why I believe they shouldn't be playing. Hey, no one needs to listen to me, but why I believe they shouldn't be playing at this point in the season. Good luck, and hopefully you can stream your asses off to a victory. All right, for those of you listening to the podcast, I'm going to go through and do a preview for the remaining 10 days in the NBA week 25 and 26 on YouTube. That video is already up, so you can go check that out. So I'll go do that. So go and listen to that preview, and then we'll come back and talk about some streaming options for Monday. All right, so looking at Monday, there are 9 games on Monday. So when we're looking to stream, again, as I talked about in that weekly preview section, there are days when it's impossible to stream. There are plenty of them this week. Now, Monday's a real borderline one, so you want to be having a look to see how you match up against your opponent for this coming 10-day final matchup for the season, what stats you need in a roto league, and looking to stream those guys in and out, making some hard decisions at times. It's not about name value at this point of the year. It's about getting bulk minutes, getting bulk production in. So if we have a look and try and work out who maybe the top three or four streamers are for each category on these stream type days like we've got today, I think that's worth looking at. And I'm going to look at guys who are rostered in under 70% of leagues on Yahoo. Now for points, I think we're looking at Jordan Clarkson as a pretty solid option as a stream guy, Emmanuel Mudiay of the New York Knicks, the Fort, Kevin Knox, Dwayne Wade of the Miami Heat, Seth Curry and Dwight Powell. I think they're probably your top bunch of point streamers. You've got Rashawn Holmes and even Big Walt Lemon of the Chicago Bulls, who's going to be starting an NBA game on Monday. So there is going to be some value in that Bulls lineup, which is going to be an absolute disaster. Hopefully no one is forced to sit through and watch that. If we're looking to stream three-pointers in for Monday, the Duke Wayne Ellington seems like the most obvious option there. Deion Waiters is going to have a big opportunity with both Justice Winslow and Joshy Richardson out. The Cornetto, Luke Cornett, Seth Curry, Terrence Ross, Jay Crowder in a starting role, Smokin' Joe Harris, Kyle Korver, Damian Dotson. There are a bunch of three-point stream options which you can use on Monday. If we're looking at some guys who can help you with rebounds for this coming day, Mitchie Robinson is a great value play for the Knicks. He's got six games in this final matchup as well, so good value there. Ed Davis, one of the best rebounders in the NBA. Bam Adebayo is an option for you. And if you go for some real low-rostered guys, Chris Felicio of the Chicago Bulls, Bill Hernan Gomez of the Charlotte Hornets, Rishon Holmes, and Aaron Baines, if he happens to play from the Boston Celtics. Tristan Thompson and Dragan Bender, another couple of options who can help you in that rebound category on Monday. We're looking at assist streams. Tyus Jones is available in 67% of Yahoo leagues. DJ Augustin is still around. Fred VanVleet. Now, these are elite-type options. They should all be 12-team league players, but they're around. Marcus Smart is another option. Goran Dragic, who is as wildly inconsistent as almost anybody not named Bobby Portis, he's an available option as well. Jalen the Burner Brunson is another guy who could be added there. And then if you go low-rostered, Big Shaq Harrison.
Big Shaq.
Jamal Crawford and Kadeem Allen of the New York Knicks with Alonzo Trier just sitting out just so he can just build up that skill to be better than Doncic once again. Let's look at some steals stream options. Big Shaq Harrison's the one that we want there. Josh Okogie, Marcus Smart, a lot of the common names there. McCall Bridges of the Phoenix Suns. Big Walt Lemon, another option as well. D'Anthony Melton, who probably starts and plays 20 minutes. Caris LeVert could be a stream option for the steals category. Tyus Jones, Flaming Mo Harkless, Miles Bridges. And if you want to go deep, Cornette, Carter Williams, and Thabo Sefolosha, they could be some options in your 16 to 20 team leagues. If we're looking at blocks, of course, it's Mitchell Robinson, but then Rashawn Holmes becomes an excellent option. Jonah Bolden in Philadelphia with Joel Embiid out. Thon McCair with Blake Griffin out in Detroit. The Cornetto, Luke Cornett, Aaron Baines, Joshy Jackson perhaps in Phoenix, although Josh Jackson has sprained his fingers after high-fiving somebody too hard. Can't make that shit up. Zach Collins, Maxi Kleber, Mo Harkless, a couple of other guys who you could stream in to help you in that blocks category. Now, if you're looking to get a real big leg up in field goal percentage, Mitchie Robinson, of course, Rishon Holmes, Powell, Bam Bam Adebayo.
Bam! 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 Bam!
Robin Lopez, Hassan Whiteside, if he's available. Boban, yeah, maybe Boban. Chris Felizio, another option in that category. Tristan Thompson, Eddie Davis, Ken Birch, a really low-rostered guy in 30-team leagues, 20-team leagues. They're going to play their regular rotation, the Magic, because they need every win they can get. And then for free throw percentage, DJ Augustin, if you need free throw percentage, you cannot find a better option than him. He's a must-roster guy regardless. Five games left, you got to look at him. The Chief Al-Farouq Aminu, Freddie VanVleet, Jordy Clarkson, Rocket Rodney Hood, Ryan Archer-Jackano, Brandon Knight, Tyus Jones, Seth Curry. These are all options. Malik Monk and Terry Ross. So there's a bunch of free throw percentage streamers that are out there that do exist that you can use to help get yourself a big start in those categories that you know you're going to need to either fight to be competitive in or extend your lead in. No point, I'm going to lose rebounds by 400 this week. I better stream in some rebounds guys because I'm going to lose it. No, it's done. That category is finished. Forget about it. Don't worry about it. Go into your other categories and strengthen your lead or attack the real balance category. If you're 400 assists projected ahead of someone, yes, things can go wrong. They can't go 400 assists wrong in general. And that's a really exaggerated figure pretty clearly. But if you're like 80 assists projected higher than somebody else, you go, you know what? Maybe I don't need to look for that. Let's go for the one where it's a difference of 20, where it's a difference of 10, and maybe I can make an impact in those categories. And that's what you're looking to do with streaming. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on the new Himalaya podcast app. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and on Spotify. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble. And when you're in the car, tell your smart device to play the podcast Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Again, congratulations to everybody. Now, if you're in one of the Red Rock Challenge Leagues, whether that's Dynasty Leagues, Redraft Leagues, and it's in a cash league, you will get payments. I have got, obviously, a shit ton of leagues to go through and sort out all the winners and the payments. So don't be surprised if you don't get anything in the next couple of days. Probably the end of the week would be more likely when those payments come out, because again, there's just so many leagues that I've got to go through, got to wait for verifications and stat corrections, all that sort of bullshit that we know can dick us around that. I actually got dicked out of a finals matchup due to a stat correction. I was in, I played the first matchup of the finals, and then the stat correction came in and I got taken out, so I wasn't too happy about that. So that's what we're going to do before we give those cash payments away in those Red Rock Challenge leagues. Guys, don't forget to stick with this podcast. Even if you're not listening, I want you to listen. Still download the show. There's going to be lots of stuff happening throughout the rest of the regular season, the playoffs, the off-season, all that stuff. And then, of course, through July, which a lot of you guys have asked for me to give me some sort of information on my trip to America. So we'll see what sort of form that is going to take when I'm over in your United States of America. Well, not your, the majority of listeners, your United States of America. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Tobias Harris.